Blog Talk Radio.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
It's a birthday.
Nobody does it like you.
It's a birthday.
Listen in and we can prove it. It's so.
Welcome, welcome everybody to HTR. Woo-hoo, HTR. For those of you who don't know what Hoopa Thing Radio is, it is a modern day faith based show, which is just us in modern day times being Christians, living for the Lord, and trying to spread a good word. So, on today's show, we'll be talking about raising kids these days. So, you got some bad kids, some gremlins, or some munchkins, you need to listen to this show. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Duran. I'm a bachelor here in San Diego, California. I'm from Romulus, Michigan, and I've been doing a show for now 3 seasons. And now our next guest, our next co-host is, we got Vivi Viv, who has 3 school-age children. She's an entrepreneur and a career woman. What's up, Viv?
What's going on, family?
What up, what up? And then you all know him, our next co-host, who's the hardworking man and the prankster and always shooting off shots and want to pop people's bubbles and all that. Jamal, what's up? What you doing?
Hey, what's going on, family?
What up? You sound dead. Come on, bring it up. Give me some life.
Jamal,
give me some life.
Oh, I got you. Just wait.
Oh, he wants you to give him some ammunition. You got to give him something to pop, Duran.
Okay. So if you guys want to know anything about Hoopa Thing Radio, want to know more about the show or the co-host, go to our website, hoopathingradio.com. You can like us on Facebook and Instagram because we type like that. You can also call in to the show, which is 347-324-5098. Let me say it again, which is 347-324-5098. And also, if you like the music on today's show, you could go on to hoopathingradio.com for more information about it. Woo-woo. So because today we have a special treat for you, because it's about raising kids these days, we have an interview, our first interview of season 3. And so we have an interview with a special guest coming on later. And so just be ready and sit tight. But because of that, we're going to get straight into the show, and we're going to hit what's the word, a.k.a. Word of the Week. So all of you guys need to stay tuned for Word of the Week. And y'all know what that sound means. Have several seats, grab your Bible app, and we're about to get the Word of the Week from Minister Paula.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to take things a little different tonight. How many of you have ever heard of this TV show Extreme Makeover? It's a TV show that offers participants the chance to win a new lease on life through the miracle of plastic surgery. The men and women who want to be on the show believe their lives will be improved by an extreme makeover to alter their appearance. The winners are treated by the nation's finest plastic surgeons who cut and tuck and recreate them as better versions of their previous selves. For the grand finale, the new and improved men and women are revealed to their friends and family amidst tears, hugs, and applause. The obsession with looking better is just a part of a bigger picture. As a culture, we are driven by the compelling need to improve ourselves to be better people, to make our lives count for something. According to the world's answer, becoming a significant person means being famous and beautiful. As we delve into the pages of the scripture and look at Jesus' life through the words of his disciples, Matthew, we realize that in God's kingdom, wisdom looks far different. Instead of learning to defend ourselves, we are called to trust Jesus to defend us. We are called to respond to all who cross our path with a gentle and humble heart. True Christianity focuses on the heart rather than the outward appearance. It calls us to compliment one another, not to compete. It holds us accountable to the people of unflinching integrity and care more about the kingdom of God, eternity, rather than material things, regardless of how significant they may make us feel here and now. True Christianity doesn't measure our importance by what is in our bank account. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But let's look at ourselves. How many of us worry so much about our outward? We want to look right. We want to be wait for people to say kind things to us about the way we look. But that's not what it's all about, because we can dress up the outside of our lives, but we cannot dress up the inside. You can have a good-looking person that's mean-spirited, has a bad heart, doesn't like people. By following Jesus, we are indeed asking for an extreme makeover. We are indeed looking for a makeover that won't involve a scalpel or skilled plastic surgeon. It's far more radical. We are called by God to lay down our search for significance and to allow his wisdom to rule and guard our lives in ways we might never have imagined. Are you ready? My word today is for all of us to take a good look at ourselves in the mirror and see exactly what we look like. We don't have to put on makeup. We don't have to put color in our hair and all the weeds. All we have to do is have a kind heart, and people can look at what we have on the inside, see such a beautiful person on the outside. We tend to be more concerned about what people think instead about what God thinks. And in closing, I just want to leave this one thing with you. I would blush with shame if I concealed the fact that Jesus is my foundation. He doesn't change like the shadow. His name sticks to my lips all day long. His eyes line up on him only. He polishes my heart and brings gloss to my life. The beauty he gives lasts forever. Why settle for just makeup when you can have God's complete makeover? God bless you.
Wow, what an awesome word, Minister Paula. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Amen.
That was right on time.
Very powerful.
As I pull off these fake eyelashes, because I feel like I should.
What I got from that word is basically you cannot serve two masters. And what happens is it's like in the world that we live in, it's almost like the beautiful gets ahead of life, and you have to put up on so much just to feel beautiful instead of just actually truly following the word of God. And ultimately, you know, letting that be your guide, because at the end of the day, the kingdom is far greater than, you know, what's in the world, because what's in the world is going to come to an end eventually.
So once again, mine's a little bit shallow.
Well, I don't want to know. I'm waiting for what you have to say. I'm waiting. What is B-Ray going to say?
So what I got from that
life
was...
Life being ratchet.
Hashtag.
What I got from that was, don't go out there and get plastic surgery. And
for
the
real
reason why I say that, listen, okay, let me explain
okay,
for y'all start going in it, for y'all going in, because I've been contemplating it.
Oh.
And so
what?
Not like not extreme, nothing on my face or nothing crazy like that, not that. But cosmetic surgery, I've been thinking about it. I've genuinely been thinking about it. And so that, like,
what you gonna get done?
Listen, okay, that's a little personal, but it's okay. I'll tell y'all on the show.
You can't take ugly. Remember, you need Jesus.
You're
the one who need to run to the Father.
I'm glad the word came before the knife. Thank you for the word before the knife.
Yes. Thank you, Miss.
What was on the knife?
The knife. The word came before the knife. Knife.
Oh,
liposuction.
Oh.
Nip tuck. Nip tuck. You know. The knife. K N I F E.
Well, Vivian, he might need to get his ears operated on now.
Oh my God. Wow.
Whatever. But that's what mine was. Like shallow.
Okay. And I started to just skip your part. I started to. I should have. Should have. I feel bad. I'm sorry. I should have took one for the team. Yeah. It's deep. Because, I mean, everything is internal. It doesn't matter. I have seen some of the most beautiful women, some of the most handsome men. And when you just look at them, oh, my God, they just make your eyes melt, and you feel like, oh, Lord, what's going to come out of their mouth? And the minute they start talking, all of this nastiness or arrogance or something that's not a good, loving spirit comes out, and it just totally wipes away everything that we saw physically. So I get it, 110%. It just makes sense that regardless of what's going on the outside, and I'm not anti-anything outside, but to put lipstick on a pig, you're still a pig. So get your head right, get your life together. You know, make over the inside first, and then whatever you do to the outside will just accentuate. Can I go put my lashes back on?
Go
right. Well, Vivian, with your lashes and without your lashes, you're still a pig. Remember that. So it's okay.
Oh, see, that was your opportunity to bless my life. That was your opportunity to say I love you, cousin. With or without, you are gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
And divine.
That's what
you
I
are
meant.
Radiant. That was your opportunity to lift me up. That Minister was. Paula, you might be wasting your time on him. We're going to skip him because you can't
right.
bring everybody to the Lord.
He's
you
a
can't. He's a heathen. .com.
Yeah.
I'm a child of God.org, and I know it. It's just a little,
no,
little
not.
Thing.
No, you're everybody can't be. I'm sorry.
Whatever. Whatever.
It's just going to be
whatever.
Some lost people.
Don't follow me, man.
Listen, this is not.
Me, Jamal.
This is not bust my bubble day, okay? This it won't be my turn.
Okay.
Not today.
You bust
not,
your bubble
not my turn.
We're going to need to talk to you after the show, Mrs. Paula. We need prayer over this relationship. I swear for
whatever. Whatever. Thank you, Minister Paula. That was a fantastic word. We all receive it in different ways, as you can tell. Some a little bit more profound than others, but that was is always good every week. So we're going to move right into the question of the week this week. Because the theme of today's show is raising kids these days, the question of the week this week is, where's the line between letting your child express themselves and the lack of parenting? So, for example, letting your kids smoke weed and or drink at home, or parents letting their kids use swear words, or parents letting their kids have sex at home. Like, those are just little examples, but where's the line between letting your child express themselves and do stuff within the comfort under you and just the lack of parenting, that you're just not parenting your child?
You know what? What I got for that question of the week is when a child is disrespectful, that first and foremost, that's when the line is drawn. First and foremost. And the second thing is you should be able to teach your child how to respectfully study, how to respectfully stand up for themselves to an adult respectfully, and also to teach him the right way to express himself, so that way you won't have a disobedient kid out there. Because you see it now more time of day kids now being a parent, and the adults are just taking that back seat and not wanting to step up. And it's almost like that kid is running the household and that parent's just living there paying the rent.
Okay. I think
from a child's perspective, let's hear yours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
For me, because I don't have any parents. I don't have any parents. I don't have
first surgery now. He don't have no parents. Guess what? He was born on his own.
Oh, my God.
I don't have any kids. So, for me, I think that the balance is you have to realize that you're not your child's friend. And no matter what you do, kids are going to do what they want to do. I know that sounds kind of like weird and kind of wrong, but what I'm saying, about the way I'm trying to say it is basically,
as long as you keep them in the church and you raise them with the Lord and you put that instill that into them, and you not only follow them and make sure they're doing okay, but you actually lead the life that you're telling them to walk, I think that everything will be okay. I think that you wouldn't have to, you shouldn't try to conform to the world by letting your kids smoke weed. I know I have a parent, I know a parent who lets their kids smoke at home, but only at home. Like, it's only with me. We do hookah only in my house. All these friends will come over, but little Johnny don't do it outside the home. And I was thinking, like, I know little Johnny, and little Johnny actually do it with little Sarah, little Beth, little Mary, and little Jacob down the street. So, no.
And little Duran, too.
I don't make it very clear. I do come
on, little Johnny.
Shots fired. No, I don't do none of that. I don't even do none of that. But what I'm saying is, if you allow it to happen, it's almost like a parent. Do I give my son condoms and put my little girl on birth control? And if I do, does that mean I'm condoning sex? Or if I don't, am I just being aimlessly stupid? You get what I'm saying? I feel like if you just lead the life that you want them to live and you instill it into them and raise them up accordingly, you wouldn't have to worry about that stuff.
Well, I believe that you are not your child's friend, but I do believe that they watch what you do more than listen to what you say. So I'm not a parent that I talk a lot, but it's more so explaining what my take on things for the kids. And I try to let them know there are consequences. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, whether I'm watching or not, but, you know, if you want to be loosey, and, you know, you want to hook up with this boy and this boy, I tell my daughters, you know, back in the day, not saying it was condoned, but your past really didn't follow you because we didn't have cameras, we didn't have social media, we didn't have anything to put your business in the street. Nowadays, you can't do anything that's not going to follow you for the rest of your life. So make sure anything that you do is something that is beneficial to your brand. It represents who you truly are. And yes, at 7, 14, and 15, you already have a brand, is what I try to make sure my kids understand. So it's not so, and I tell them I could, you know, some kids over in other countries are raising families right now at their ages, maybe not 7-year-old. So I don't approach it from a you better not. I approach it from a let's talk about it. Let's talk about everything that's going to happen if you do what I don't think you should do. Sometimes a cuss word might slip out. I'm not that parent who cares about that type of stuff. If you get colorful in talking to me because you need to express what you're saying, that's okay. I had some aunties. My mother didn't let me say bad words. I had some aunties that, you know, were okay with bad words, and I was like, dang, I wish I could let one of them rip every now and then. And it doesn't make you a bad person per se. I don't really condone it, but I don't. Like, oh, my God, you said a bad word. Go give me the soap. I don't care about that.
Go give me the soap. Let me ask you these questions because your kids are a little bit older. Jamal's kids are small, but your kids, you have school-age kids, like two bigger kids. So for you, I'm going to do the three examples that I gave. Smoking weed, how do you feel about that with your children? If they was coming here and say they wanted to do it.
No, but if I was getting faded, they could get faded with me. But no, I don't get faded, so they can't get faded. No, I don't get
that. Okay,
no.
What about drinking?
I will allow them to taste the drink to see, because I don't want them to feel like, oh, my God, there's a drink. Let me do something. No, I mean, here, if you want to taste it and see what it tastes like, you do this amongst family. You don't do this in the – you don't discover new things in the streets because, you know, it's – no, I don't want them to feel like – no, answer your question. They can taste the drink at home as opposed to in the street. Yeah.
So they okay.
Not
the so here's my question.
The teenagers.
The 7-year-old.
Yeah, I was about
control.
To say, you know, anybody that's listening, the 7-year-old does not drink. Okay.
No.
He's still
sick. No, he's really he's innocent. He's like, oh my God, Mom, that's wine. Does God like that? And I'm like, well, back in the day, they had ran out at a party, and Jesus was like, yo, check this out. Give me that water. I'm going to hook y'all up. One time, I got to go. So he's like, okay, Mom.
So now you said so you did the use the swear words. What about having sex? What about when your kids come to the age and they say they think that they're ready for that?
Then they're gonna get on birth control and they're gonna get condoms because I'm not gonna be in denial. So
So
I'm not condoning it.
I'm
telling them to try to
put
it.
I was about to ask that.
I'll tell them, you know, I know some adults who can't handle having sex. So for a child to be able to process the emotions behind having sex and the consequences behind having sex, I'm going to tell them they're not ready, and I'm going to do my best to discourage them. However, we have all been children before, and I'm okay with the way I handled things as a child, but I had some friends who handled them quite differently. So if my children
mm-hmm.
choose to handle them, you know, a way that I don't agree with, I'm not going to say,
mm-hmm.
well, I forbid you and no birth control and no condoms. It's going to be a drawer full of condoms and three packs of birth control because I'm not dealing with
that. How do you feel about that, Jamal? Because you're a parent also, and you have nothing but girls. How do you feel about that?
He got
I have no comment
because
the comment
that
I want to say is not appropriate for the show.
He's a daddy. He's a daddy. And if my baby daddy
was little girls, and I don't want to think about nothing. I am taking my time, and Jesus is with me. Just leave it at that.
Right. You can't ask my daddy that because my ex fall out about that.
This is kind of how I feel, and this is my personal opinion. I think if you do though, if and I don't have a child, so let me make that very clear to everybody out there, but I have a bunch of brothers, a bunch of cousins, and myself, so I do know the process. And I've seen both sides of it. But I feel like if you do that, on one hand, a part of me feels like you're condoning it, no matter how much you say no or
okay.
don't do it. But if you put it in your hand, I feel like you're condoning it. But on the other side,
let me give you this.
If I don't
let
give
me tell
them
you
this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, let me tell you this. The statistics are little girls between the ages of 13 and 18,
mm-hmm.
and it's some high number, are giving
some high number.
It's a very high number. You know I'm never good with my facts, but, you know, I give you the point and you can go Google it. And it was scary because when my daughter and I talked about it, the little girls who, you know, are in the lunchroom are talking about, and you know, she's like, oh, my God, mine's disgusting, and I really believe that, you know, mine ain't doing it. However, she sits up and the little girls are like, yeah, did you do such and such? Yeah, I did such and such, or I did this guy, or I did, and they're talking about it like
mm-hmm.
it's okay. You know, the social
mm-hmm.
norm is it's okay for little girls to provide
mm-hmm.
that.
Do that stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to take account of.
Mm-hmm.
You also got to take account of what we're letting them watch on that TV, because ultimately, you know, what's being fed to them in the TV, they actually is going out and just actually curiosity piques the brain.
It does.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
knows what's on the TV. It's like your empire, your scandal, your all these shows are so popular to our community and stuff like that. At the same time, as adults, we're looking at that and everybody's getting like, okay, ooh, that was good show last night. But it is doing something to those young teenagers that are watching that. They're seeing it, okay, it's okay for Olivia Pope to go around and sleep with two or three different men. It's okay for Cookie to show out like that. It's okay for the father of on the Empire to go slip around and with different women and stuff like that. It's promoting it. And then you also got a guy on there who's got a song now. It's like an openly gay thing that they're promoting out there. And you know kids is going to school singing that. And you know, that's just right there. That's just opening up another door.
But Jamal said before, as a parent, you only have an hour with your kids in the morning, maybe 2 hours
mm-hmm.
at night, but they've got Instagram, Facebook, social media, BET, 106. They got everything else on their faces 24/7. And as parents, we probably get 3 good hours with our kids.
The teacher has more time with your kid than you do throughout the school year. In the summertime, you have your kid, whether you choose to be in their lives or you got to work. You see what I'm saying? But the teacher has your kid. The school, your child's in school for those 8 hours out of the day. Everything is being put into them. By the time you get home, get dinner made, stuff like that, you got a good hour to 2 hours solid. That's it. Other than that, what are you really putting into them in those 2 hours? What are you instilling?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, listener, call in. Tell us what you guys think. What do you guys think is the line between expressing themselves and the lack of parenting? Go let us know what you guys are feeling, how you guys are thinking. This is some great dialect. But we have to go to break really fast because, you know, we got to pay them bills. You got to pay that light bill, pay that gas bill. So when we go to break, just make sure you go ahead and visit our website, HooperThingRadio.com. You can call in at 347-324-5098. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and also if you're on and you just press 1, if you press 1, the producers will be notified that you want to speak and they can call on you. And make sure you stay tuned because up next is our always good and fun, the Married Single Divorce segment. So just stay right tuned.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to HTR, Hooper Thing Radio. This is our Married, Single, and Divorce segment. And our topic this week is parenting and raising children and where's the line between letting your child express themselves and lack of parenting. So from a divorce perspective, the boundaries that are set, and it's, well, kids typically play both sides to the middle when it comes to divorce parenting, especially if both parents are in the child's life. So what I struggle with, or what we try to keep a nice balance with in our family, is which parent gets to make the decision on something and coming to a consensus together, putting up a good united front in front of children, because the children can conquer and divide and walk away with the prize and parents all frazzled. So from a divorce perspective, just managing the children. And dating from a divorce perspective with children is the other obstacle, and it is an obstacle because you always feel like, do I let my kids meet somebody? Yeah. And I got to the point where my kids are like, we're going to be just like the kids were on that Ice Cube movie, Are We There Yet? And I said, oh, okay, well, that means you're going to be my only friend. So you can't call over little Johnny to play PlayStation with you. You can't call over little Pam to come and, you know, sleep over with you for the weekend. I'm your best friend, you my best friend. Here we go. They're like, okay, Mama, you got a date? Bye, because we don't like that setup. We're going to be nice. Well, we going to meet somebody. Like,
you want me to open the door and shake his hand?
Yes.
Right. I get some ice cream.
And it just puts everything back in perspective. I'm so glad that we do have our speaker and our interview today with a professional, because there are a lot of questions that I know me and some other women and men that I've talked to with children, school-age children, that, you know, with divorced parents and when do you introduce and blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking forward to that segment.
Yeah, that I can't wait. I'm really excited about that. So here's my question. Have they ever played you two against each other and y'all didn't realize it until afterwards, where it's like, oh, did this play out?
Oh, yes, for years. Okay, so divorce was 2010. This is 2015. So we've been divorced for almost 5 years. The first three? No, first 2.5, because I think we figured it out. They got Christmases, birthdays, weekend, you know, man, my kids made out like a fat cat for 2.5 years post-divorce. They milked us, and we were fools. We were the biggest fools you've ever seen trying to one-up a parent. Well, I'm doing this. Well, I'm doing it. Well, Mama did this, and Daddy said you wasn't going such and such and such. No. Okay, I'm going to show him. You know, I'm running out.
What'd you say?
I said, well, you see, you outnumber. There's three of them and two of y'all.
Oh, yeah, we outnumber like a mug.
Hey, divide and conquer. We both, you take one side, I take the other side. We both take the middle. No, for my parents, my setup is a little different. Because my parents were not together. And it was,
believe it or not, and I did not mind. I was never one of them kids like, please, mommy and daddy, get together. Oh, my gosh, my heart is so broken. Woe is me. You're ruining my life. Stump, stump, slam. Like, I was never one of those kids. I'm not one of those kids. My parents are better off not together, and I've always known that since I was, like, two. Because every time they get together, it's some colorful words and a couple of glass eyes being thrown around. So it's like, no, y'all don't need to know.
They got oil and water in the room. Oil and water.
They're very passionate. They're passionate, Mark.
Yes, let's use that word. We'll use passionate. They're very passionate with a capital P. So I was not one of those kids. I was never one of those kids that did that. But for mine, from a single perspective on this subject, I cannot stand having a friend with children. I know that may sound sad, and I know the more y'all hear me throughout the season, y'all think I hate women or men with kids, because it seems like I keep going around to that, but I don't. It's just I'm not in the place to where I just feel like being bothered with them. It could have been because when I was younger, I helped raise a lot of my cousins and my brothers and stuff. But I'm just like, if I'm young and I want to hang out and I want to call you up real quick, and I want you to, that's like, I don't even like having friends that's in a relationship. Like, I like single friends. If we have a good friend, you single together. Birds of a feather flock together. So, like, a friend of mine.
You're like
got me
old,
right now.
Young Grinch.
But that's cool, though. That's a cool idea. And it's good.
You're
that
like
you
an
know
old,
that.
Young Grinch.
I'm a
pet
hater.
So, Billy, I'm proud of you for being able to say exactly what you want and have that level of expectation, whether it's realistic, pretentious. Whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. It's you and you own that, and I'm proud of you.
You're okay.
It doesn't matter. It's okay because we all have our expectations and requirements.
Exactly. And those are just this is what I can't stand. Hey, let's go out. Ooh, I got to find a babysitter child. I got to do this. I got the baby crying. I'm calling you. The baby crying. I want to come over. It's diapers all on the floor. I don't have time. I just like, no.
Well, you got some nasty
good
friends.
I have a lot of friends who have children. So I'm not, so anybody listening, I just want to tell you, I don't like y'all. I do, but I connect way better and way more with friends without kids. I can be more sporadic. We can do a lot more things. It's a lot more bonding. It's not the whole obstacle there of children. That's just, you know, that's mm-hmm. just me, though.
That's cool.
What you got, Jamal? What about you, Molly Mall?
Okay. So what I got for you is basically, you know, I have two little girls, and I literally think they really try to outthink me all the time. And so, which is a good thing, is like, you know, being able to understand one another and finding a happy medium on things in life, which me and my wife do, especially when it comes to our kids, different things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Uh-huh.
What I found out most is being able to, at the end of the day, before we come down with any kind of punishments or anything like that, you know, we're able to sit down and talk about it and agree upon it. Because, you know, if you go do one thing and then the other parent comes do another, now it's like a conflict of interest. And my oldest catches that. And she plays on that to the hilt. Yes. And then the youngest jump in. And now you got two of them against you.
So for those, I mean, so now you have kids. So Via, here's my question for you. Is it easier, and this may be like an obvious question, but is it easier raising kids married or divorced for you?
Okay, so here's the thing. And this is it's crazy. It's not that the roles are so clearly defined. With the divorce, we took the time to clearly define roles and responsibilities and swim lanes. We did not do that in married. Married, you know, you do what you do. If somebody else pick up the slack, you just make it happen, you pick up the slack. We have such a systematic flow as divorced people, because I think in a marriage you just do what you get, do what has to be done. But in a divorce, you really, you know, it's on the refrigerator. You're doing this, and this. I'm doing that, and that. And every now and then there'll be a hiccup. So it wasn't that we managed being divorced parents better than we managed being married. So it's not that it's better, but we managed it better, if that makes sense. If I could do it and still be married with, and do it as a married couple, I think we could do it. Not me and him, though, but you know, I could be married and it could work. Let me get that real quick. He is hashtag BFF.com. That's it. But I think a lot of marriages, you just kind of flow with it. You don't really say, look, you're doing A, B, and C, and then, you know, we didn't anyway.
Okay. That's what's up. Now we got what's the latest. Let's hear what's the latest, what's going on around the world. Let's hear what you got.
All right, so what's the latest is, you know, everybody knows. Our boy, the one and only, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, just made the billionaires list. He's up there with Bill Gates,
who?
Warren Buffett. That is Michael Jordan. MJ, baby. He is a billionaire. Yes, it is. He just made 2015.
I thought it was
Michael Jordan. It's actually Michael Jordan. I thought he would have been up there a lot sooner because the way those shoes fell and the way those people are killing each other over those shoes, I thought he would have been up there 5 to 6 years ago because those shoes keep getting reprinted over and over. And the thing is, Jordan gets those shoes made for $15 over there in China. We sell them for over here for $200 plus.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're made for $15 in China. And then when it comes to the U.S., they're marked up to $200 plus. And it's the same shoes over and over, just switching off, just switching colors. Same shoe each year.
So, because I know, and I do know this, I have to look more into it, but they, in China or in other countries, and a lot of Asian countries, because when I left last season, I wasn't on the show last season, and I went to go do some touring. I went to a lot of Asian Pacific coast countries, and a lot of them have big kid sweatshops. A lot of them have a big kid sweatshop. So he's making them over there. How do we regulate? I mean, are they regulating to the point to where they know that kids aren't sitting up there making them for $15?
Well, how can you regulate that? Because that's not our market. We can send stuff over there and products to be made. It's just like if you go to Walmart and you pick up a remote, it's going to say made in Taiwan, China, Indonesia, whatever. The thing is, you can't really regulate that because, you know, we outsource that. There's a reason why we outsource so much. Now, when it comes back to the U.S., okay, we look at the shoes and make sure ain't nothing off that, any drug paraphernalia, anything like that. That's as far as the U.S. race is concerned on it. Other than that, no. That's the reason why a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of moms, a lot of others boycott Adidas, Nike, Reeboks, because a lot of those shoes are outsourced over there to China to put them to make them for pennies on the dollar and for us to come back, for them to come back over to the U.S. and sell them to us, who's willing to buy them for as low as 75 all the way up as high as 200 plus.
Maybe having kids make them. And I saw a documentation. Ooh, Lord Jesus, help me. What's the word?
Documentary.
I'm looking for? Documentary. Yes.
Documentary. Get yourself together. All right, y'all.
Listen, okay? It's all right. It's okay. I saw a documentary about sweatshops and how they pay them literally. When you say pennies on a dollar, I think one time I saw it was like 5 cents. Per item they made, or was it per hour they did? It was very minimum. And they would turn around and they would come and sell stuff here for God knows how much. They're making like extreme profits from these sweatshops. And they do have kids working in them. And they have the kids working in them because they need to help provide for the home. So you got the daddy working there, or the daddy out doing mining, and the mama working in the sweatshop, the kid working in the sweatshop. All these people working just to provide a roof over just that family's head for pennies on a dollar. So that is definitely something that we need to watch out for. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
that
you, almost
wow.
You almost got to think about just like when slavery was going on. Those people used to work and didn't get nothing. You know, it's like a different way of a slavery, but in a way, in a sense, to in that country, it's allowed. You know, it's allowed.
Yeah. We're going to break, and once we come back, we have our special guest, Dr. LaToya Harrison, is coming on right after the break. I'm super excited for her to come on. Afterwards, we're going to be able to take some callers if you guys want to call in and ask some questions. And the number for you to call in is 347-324-5098. And so when we come back, we're going to have our interview. So get your notepads out, get your pens out. She's going to talk to us. We're going to have some questions for her about raising kids. So just stay tuned. And when we hashtag get your life together, hashtag step your parenting up. Okay?
Yes.
So when we come back, we're going to have Dr. LaToya Harrison. So stay tuned.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite thing.
Welcome back to HTR, and it's the moment I've been waiting for, you've been waiting for, we all been waiting for. Dr. LaToya Harrison is here today in the building, on the radio, to talk to us. So just a little bit of background information about Dr. LaToya Harrison. She is a strategic and visionary leader who has devoted her career to serving students in the urban schools. So she loves helping the urban schools. And she recently founded a nonprofit, SOAR Education Incorporated. And then also, Dr. LaToya holds a doctorate of education from Harvard University from the superintendent's program. And so she also has a plethora of other degrees, and she also has her administration license in North Carolina, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. So this lady has a lot of experience with kids. She has a kid, a fresh new mom of a little baby named Ava, who's not one yet. And so let's welcome everybody, Dr. LaToya.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey, you guys, I'm a big fan of HTR, so thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Yes, yes. So before we get started with the interview, I want to ask you actually the question of the week, okay? So we're going to get started the interview in a minute, but the question of the week is, where's the line between the child expressing themselves and the lack of parenting? Where do you think the line is drawn at?
Oh, wow. That's a really layered question. So, I mean, I would say the line is that there's a big difference between, and I think Vivian alluded to this earlier, being your child's friend and being your child's parent. And, you know, biblically we're called to train our children in the way they should go. And you know, our goal as parents should always be to help our children grow into into responsible citizens, people who can live independently and who have good character, mm-hmm. good morals, et cetera. And so you want to use your household as a training ground for those things. You want that to be a training ground for, preparing your children for being able to have the type of life that you want them to have in the future. You want them to be able to succeed in a professional environment. So you don't want them, you don't want to encourage the kind of behaviors that would be destructive for your children. So some of the things you were mentioning earlier, you know, things like you mentioned, like smoking with your children, things like that. I can't even imagine like any parent that would think that would be okay, because why would you even want your children to smoke, period? I mean, there are certain things that are just, and we can all agree, are just bad for your kids, bad for their health, bad for them mm-hmm. in general. So if it's not good for your children, if it's not even good for you, why would you encourage your child to do it? And I think the one thing also is that as parents, you always want your children to do better than you've done in life. So you always want to try to, even if you've made mistakes or we all have done things that we regret, we hopefully have learned from or learning from those mistakes. And so you don't want to see your child repeat those same mistakes. You want to set them up for success in the future. So I think definitely drawing a clear line in the sand between being your child's parent and being their, like, BFF is really important.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what's up.
All right. Dr. LaToya Harrison, I have a question for you.
Sure.
All right, my question is, what does SOAR stand for, and what all do you guys do?
So SOAR is actually an acronym. It stands for Surpassing Obstacles, Achieving Results, and the name really reflects what our organization is all about. It sort of reflects our two-pronged approach, if you will, to supporting students. And so the surpassing obstacles part of our approach really reflects this whole idea that we understand that a lot of students come to school with challenges that they face, and they need support beyond the classroom. And so we're a small program, but we try to provide additional support like weekend meals for students, school supplies, parent workshops. We have a health and nutrition training program and things of that nature. And then the achieving results prong of our program really emphasizes the academic support that we offer students. So we have our after-school academy, which runs Monday through Thursday afternoons, and students in our program receive daily small group instruction with a certified teacher, as well as homework support from community volunteers. And then they also get to practice academic skills using like web-based tutorial programs that track your progress throughout the year and or throughout the program. And then and so that's sort of the gist of what our program is all about. We had we're in our second year. We did a pilot program last year, and we saw a 74 percentage point increase in math pass rates among our fourth grade students last year. So we were really working hard, and our students have been working hard. And, you know, we're just excited to do this work. This was sort of a real personal mission for me. I really believe wholeheartedly that every child deserves the right and the opportunity to reach their full potential. And so that's what we're all about, and that's what we're striving to do. We have, like I said, one after-school program right now at Lindenwood Elementary School in Norfolk, Virginia, but we hope to expand to other schools in the very near future.
That's nice. So I heard. So you said that you guys do a healthy program, a cooking program. Is that what it is? A healthy cooking program.
Yeah, it's a health and nutrition. We call it our Healthy Kids Club for the kids, and we have a partnership with the Virginia Tech Collaborative Extension Program. It's quite a mouthful, but they actually come in about twice a month, and they'll work with our students. They have a full curriculum that they do, and it includes cooking demonstrations as well as just really fun, hands-on, interactive lessons. For example, they do one on food safety. You know, there are a lot of times little kids don't realize that they shouldn't eat the chicken that's been left out on the counter for 3 days. And so, you know, there are just a lot of basic things like that that, you know, we try to make sure that that we teach kids how to prepare a healthy snack with things that they might already have at home available to them. So
that chicken, so you're talking about the chicken that's been on my counter since last week, I shouldn't eat it?
On the random, for you, baby, no,
it's too late, he already done ate it.
Hey, right, if you live this long, it's okay.
Exactly. It hasn't hurt me yet, but yeah, for right. a little kid, it's probably not the best idea.
You know, teaching the 2 second rule. You know, you kiss after God 2 seconds, that you good. So now we're going to ask you some questions about raising children, the kids' interaction. We want to pick your brain and see what you think. So for me, I'm single and I don't have any children. But in the future, if I was thinking about having some kids, or if I wanted to, or came to pass, or I was about to, what are the top three things I should do to, you know, kind of prepare, or maybe, or to look into before having them?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a really good question, Duran, because, you know, a lot of times when people are young and single, they're not necessarily thinking about preparing for that part of their future. You know, usually they may be focused on their career or focused on other things, but I think it's important, if you want to have children, to prepare yourself for that as much as you can. I don't think anyone's ever fully prepared, you know. But at any rate, I would say, number one, you want to pray for God to send you a life partner that shares your values and someone that you can start a family with. So you want to be paired up with the right person. And number two,
pray that you win the lottery because kids are in
the yeah. Durant probably has a better chance of hitting the lottery than pairing up with the right person. So.
Listen, as long as she ain't got no kids and she's single and we good and she gotta look fine and have a PhD and a good credit score and maybe a big house. We good.
But listen,
wow.
Don't hit the,
that
you
is
know,
a big
if you don't hit the lottery, in all seriousness, like, I mean, prepare yourself for the fact that raising children, I mean, it can be really expensive, especially in our society today. And it's not that kids have to have all the bells and whistles, but you want to make sure that you have trained and prepared yourself for a career that will provide a comfortable lifestyle for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so preparing yourself for that. And then I would say the third thing would just be enjoy your single years. You know, make the most of the time when you are single, because there may be things that are more conducive to a single life that you can do while you're single that you might not be able to do once you have children, once you settle down. So if you want that loft apartment and you know, some swanky urban city, and, you know, you want to do that while you're young and single. You want to backpack through Europe, whatever. You know, you do those things while you can, while you're single and you have the opportunity to do those things.
Okay. All right.
So if Durant does have children, how important is it, the school that
me.
Choose for the kid? Like, so... How important is the school that a parent chooses for their children? How important is that?
I think that is probably one of the most important decisions you can ever make as a parent. I think Jamal said earlier, and he, you know, really hit the nail on the head with this. Your children spend more time in school during the school year than they do at home. They spend more time with their teacher than they do with their parent on any given day. And so, you know, we invest in so many things as a society, but truly nothing will give you a better return on your investment than a quality education for your child. So
yeah.
There are a lot of practical ways to choose a good school. There are websites like schooldigger.com that provide comprehensive data on schools in every state. There's also every state department of education has data on schools and school districts that can be pretty easily accessed by parents. And this allows you to kind of compare schools to see which schools are producing the best results. And if you have the means to move into the community with the schools, I honestly believe it's worth whatever you have to sacrifice to make that happen. If it means, you know, you have to drive a beat-up car or, you know, shop at a thrift store, whatever it takes to provide the best education for your child, I think it's worth it. But if it's not an option, and it's not an option for everyone, I mean, I work with kids all the time whose parents just simply don't have the option of moving into a better neighborhood or sending their children to private schools, et cetera. So in that case, you know, do all that you can as a parent to support your child academically, because parents are the first and most important teachers that a child will ever have. And education begins at the home, and it can also be integrated into every aspect of life. And so, I mean, something as simple as a trip to the grocery store could become a math lesson. And something as simple as just reading a book together as a family or reading with your children for 15 minutes a day. I mean, those things make such an impact and really go a long way with helping your children succeed academically.
Oh, okay. All right. So, What do you think are the most effective forms of discipline?
So this was a kind of an interesting question. I kind of wanted to maybe go in a slightly different direction with this one, because I think a lot of times we focus on discipline from the perspective of consequences and maybe, you know, whether you should spank your child or not spank your child, and that sort of debate. But I think first and foremost, and I mentioned this earlier, that we always want to go back to, you know, our biblical responsibility to train our children in the way they should go and not depart from it. I mean, that's sort of the mandate that I think we have from God to try to train our children. And, you know, this to me involves
teaching and guiding our children and helping them develop good character and helping them make responsible choices. And so I think it's really important as parents to be really intentional about this, not to assume that your kids just somehow just know right from wrong. They have to be taught, really, really taught right from wrong. And it can be, a time-consuming process. And sometimes you might feel like, gosh, didn't I already explain this to them or demonstrate this and they haven't gotten it yet?
Yeah.
But, keep modeling it and showing it. And I think this is something Vivian mentioned earlier. And it's so true. Your kids learn so much more from what they see you do than from what they hear you say. And so always make sure that you're modeling the behaviors that you want your children to demonstrate. And so there's a quote from Frederick Douglass that I really like, and it says it's better to train a child than it is to mend a man. And so it's so important to start when they're young, because if you don't do it when they're toddlers,
yeah.
If you don't do it when they're in kindergarten, you wait until they're 16, 17, 18 years old to try to instill these values in them. I won't say it's too late, but, it's going to be a whole lot harder, and you're going to get a lot more resistance, because by then, their character has already been shaped and they're already moving in a different direction. So it's just
right.
Some basic discipline tips. And keep in mind, I have a four-month-old. So a lot of my experience is just so I'm not really from experience here. So
we're gonna call you back on when Ava turns two. We can hear about
right.
You whacking that hand, smacking her little hand.
I hear this all the time. People always tell me, just wait. But I will say, I do have a lot of experience working with kids as an educator, and so I'm speaking really more so from that perspective. But I would say just a few really quick disciplining tips that I think are important. Never discipline when you're angry. You always want to be calm and clear-headed. I'm a big believer in praising not just adults like in a management setting, but praise your children in public and discipline in private as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to ever embarrass your kids. I think that's one of the worst things. I never like to see, especially with older kids, to see, their parents embarrassing them in front of other people. Take
yeah.
them home and, talk to them in private.
Mm-hmm.
Make your discipline respectful. You're teaching, you're modeling appropriate behaviors to your children in the process of disciplining. So you want to make sure you're doing it in a respectful way as well and keeping your
right.
cool. And you want to make sure that the punishment matches the crime. Don't be too lenient, but don't go overboard either. And then you want to be consistent and fair if you have more than one child. You don't want to, give one child, restrictions from using their cell phone for 30 minutes and punish another child for a month for a similar, offense. And then you want to put some thought into your discipline. Remember, the goal is to help your children develop good character and to make responsible choices. So try to think about how is this particular consequence or punishment going to help my child improve? How is it going to help them develop? Because ultimately, that's your goal. If you're just given a punishment just for punishment's sake and it's not going to
mm-hmm.
do anything, then, what's the point?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Love it. You're great. We hope to have you back on. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much, Dr. LaToya Harrison. I'll give you another clap for a second. So if people wanted to get in contact with you and want to know more information, how would they do that?
LHarrison@soareducation.org.
All right. So we will post that. If you guys want to know more information, want any more tips for parenting, you guys can contact Dr. LaToya Harrison. But it looks like we're at the end of our show, and it was such a great show. Thank you so much, Minister Paula, for bringing the Word of the Week this week again. It was always awesome, like normal. Thank you, Dr. LaToya Harrison, for being on the show and being a guest so we can interview and pick your brains. If you want to know more information about today's show, go to HooverThingRadio.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to tune in next week at the same time, same place. We're going to be talking about racism. It's a very sensitive subject, but we're going to try to tackle it. So love you guys. Talk to you guys later.
When you want to know the news, but got the radio blues. From the question of the day to the rants and the raves, got your favorite things.
It's a Hooper Day.
Nobody does.